Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's Wednesday, and I'm so glad that you're with us today on Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Joining me in the studio today is David Holland, who's here not only to benefit us with his wisdom and learning, but also to help bolster my voice, which is just enduring a little bit of strain. Dave, great to have you with us today.
Thanks, Stephen. Yeah, we want to remind people not to try to adjust their radio. That's really what you sound like right now, and I'm happy to help.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm loving this teaching by Derek Prince, because it's just, as always with Derek, it's just the solid word of God. And Derek had no lack of courage when it came to putting it between our eyes.
No.
I think our generation needs that.
That's exactly right. Very strong, very bold, but encouraging at the same time. And, you know, we have a bundle of resources that we're making available all this week, and as we did last week, that will really help people even more along these lines. Some great teaching by Derek we're making available. God's Plan for Your Money, a great book by Derek Prince, and also an audio teaching called Christian Principles of Finance. We'll be telling you more a little bit more about that as the show progresses. But we've got great, great teaching ahead of us today, Stephen.
Yeah, good stuff. Derek is going to be teaching us about how this giving and receiving and relationship is really a two-way relationship. And I'm excited to hear about this because, frankly, I've already heard it. And I'm very excited about our listeners getting it. So let's get right to it as Derek teaches us about a two-way relationship with God.
In my previous talks this week, I've been sharing that the key word in the Bible's teaching on giving is grace, not law. And I've pointed out that there's only one route by which grace can come into our lives and operate in our lives. Grace comes only through Jesus. It comes only through the cross, through what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's received only by faith. And that faith must work by love. This is so important, I'm going to say it once more. Grace comes only through Jesus. It comes only through the cross. It's received only by faith. And the faith that receives grace must work by love. Then I went on and pointed out yesterday that when we talk about giving to God, the first gift we need to give to God is ourselves. We cannot offer God anything that's acceptable until we've offered ourselves. However, once we have truly given ourselves to God, as Paul says in Romans 12, offered our bodies to Him as living sacrifices laid upon the altar of His service, then after that, when we give in faith, whatever we give completes and establishes our righteousness. Paul, in this connection, quotes Psalm 112, and he says about a certain righteous man, he scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. In fact, that's the theme of Psalm 112, how generosity and compassion and right giving establish enduring righteousness that will never be done away with. Today, I want to speak about giving as a two-way relationship between God and the giver. First of all, we'll consider giving as a proof of our love for God. And we'll turn back again to the Grace of Giving chapter, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll read verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 we've already read before this week, but we'll follow on with verse 8. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. A complete Christian or a complete Christian church must be able to excel in the grace of giving. And then Paul emphasizes it is not law, but it is grace. He says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. And he's spoken to them about the generosity of the Macedonian Christians, and he says, now I want to see if your love is really sincere. And I'll find out by measuring what you give with what the Macedonian Christians gave. That's pretty plain talk, isn't it? And Paul really loved these Corinthian Christians. They were the fruit of his ministry. They were his spiritual children. But he said, now I want to find out whether your love for God is sincere or whether it's just talk. And the way I'll find out is by how much you give. And he said, I've got a standard to compare with. Because the Macedonian Christians, out of their poverty, gave with amazing generosity. They've proved their love. Now, he said, in a certain sense, the ball is in your court, you Corinthian Christians. How about you? How are you going to respond to this challenge to prove your love to God? And then a little further on in that same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24, Paul says, therefore, show these men, that's the representative of the churches who'd come, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. Some people's giving is so secret that nobody ever knows anything about it. And I wonder whether it isn't because they would be embarrassed if anybody did know. But Paul says in this matter of giving to God, he said, we don't have to do it in secret. He said, do it in front of everybody. Let everybody see your commitment to the Lord. We've seen it with the Macedonian churches. Now, he said, I want to see it with you. I've boasted about you. I'm proud of you. You're my children. But it's very, very important to me that you prove your love in this vital matter of giving. Also, our giving not only proves our love for God, but it proves our love for our fellow believers. This is very plainly stated by the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 20. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's the proof of the love of God. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. We ought to do to others as Jesus did for us. What does John mean by laying down our lives for our brothers? What does he have in mind? He goes on in verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has not pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Laying down our lives for our brothers includes helping them with our material possessions if they are in need and we are in a position to do it. And then he goes on, and John really loved the people he was writing to. He says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. There's a saying in our contemporary culture, which I think is pretty good. Put your money where your mouth is. That's exactly what John is saying. He said, you've said it, now do it.
You know, I imagine there are some folks who could be offended by what Derek has said, that if we love God, we'll give financially. But I want you to think about a relationship where you love someone, but giving is not part of it. Your spouse, your children, your nation, your church. What relationship do you have where love is somehow divorced from providing materially or giving yourself? That's what God is trying to teach us, that is the nature of the Christ love. More to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The Bible speaks clearly about money, yet the war between poverty and prosperity rages. What does God really want the believer to have? Derek Prince provides some answers through two helpful resources on finances. One a book, and the other an audio CD. In his book, God's Plan for Your Money, Derek explores your role as a steward of God's resources. And in his audio CD titled Christian Principles of Finance, Derek provides vital insight into the laws that really govern your financial future. Combined, these resources will help answer questions such as, what is the truth behind sowing and reaping? Why would God use you to bless others? And how can you apply God's principles of abundance to your finances? Right now, Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners can get these two powerful resources for a gift of $15 or more to help extend the reach of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. It's because of faithful friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio can reach thousands every day with solid biblical teaching. If you or someone you love is struggling with finances, don't delay. Call now. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. With these timeless resources, you'll understand God's plan for abundance. And with your gift of $15 or more,
you'll keep Derek Prince Legacy Radio coming to you and so many others around town and around the world. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you here. We are in the middle of a second week of teaching by Derek Prince on God's plan for our money. It really is a powerful and transforming series, and I'm loving the fact that Derek is openly and boldly and courageously teaching us that when we love God, we give financially. It's not just his idea, it's what the Bible says. Let's listen.
Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. There's a saying in our contemporary culture, which I think is pretty good, put your money where your mouth is. That's exactly what John is saying. He said, you've said it, now do it. Don't love just with words and in tongue, but with actions and in truth. And then he goes on with an amazing statement. This then, in other words, loving in action with our finances, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth. And how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. So if we're feeling condemned, if we're feeling, I wonder whether I'm really accepted with God, he says, this is how we set our hearts at rest. It's by our generosity. It's exactly what Paul was saying when he was quoting Psalm 112. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. So you see, we have two alternatives when it comes to love. One is just in words and in tongue. The other is in actions and in truth. And one of the ways that we'll answer that challenge is by what we do with our finance. We'll prove by that whether it's just in word or in tongue, or whether it's in action and in truth. I said at the beginning of this talk that giving to God is a two-way relationship. The first relationship is our attitude to God. We prove our love for God by giving to him. But the second aspect of the relationship is God's response to us. And the New Testament teaches that right giving is a cause of God's special love for us. God loves the world, but he loves some people specially. And one class of people he loves are those who give generously and happily. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Again, it is not law, it is grace. And then Paul adds this, for God loves a cheerful giver. You want to be loved of God? That's one way. Give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word that's translated cheerful is the word from which we get, in English, hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. Have you ever thought of giving with hilarity? I spent 5 years in East Africa, and I can remember scenes in African churches where the people gave with hilarity. And believe me, by our standards in America, all of them were extremely poor. And they did not mostly have money, but they would give in kind, coffee beans, corn cobs, eggs, maybe chickens. And I can remember seeing these African women, because they always carried everything on their head, walking up to the front of the church with a couple of corn cobs balanced on top of their head. You'd hardly believe they could do it. Or even a live chicken. Put it down at the altar, go back, and then get touched by God again and come running up with another gift. And I don't think I've ever seen simple people more happy than those people. They were hilarious givers. Why should people be hilarious when they give? Let me give you three reasons. First of all, it's the supernatural grace of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's grace, it's not law. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. When we line ourselves up with what God wants and what the Holy Spirit can bless, then he comes upon us with real supernatural grace. And people get happy in a way they can't be happy just in the natural. Secondly, it calls down God's favor on us. And the Bible says God's favor is like a shield, and it's like a cloud of the latter rain. It precipitates his blessing upon us. And thirdly, and very important, hilarious giving releases us from slavery to mammon. Mammon is that evil, satanic power that enslaves men and women through money. But when we begin to give hilariously, we're saying to mammon, away with you. You're not going to dictate to me. You're not going to dominate my thinking.
We're learning all about God's plan for our money, how to give, how to receive. God has a special love for a certain kind of person. Now, I know that sounds odd. We tend to think God loves everyone equally, but the Bible literally says that God has a special love for a certain kind of person. And frankly, you can become that kind of person. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The Bible speaks clearly about money, yet the war between poverty and prosperity rages. What does God really want the believer to have? Derek Prince provides some answers through two helpful resources on finances, one a book and the other an audio CD. In his book, God's Plan for Your Money, Derek explores your role as a steward of God's resources. And in his audio CD titled Christian Principles of Finance, Derek provides vital insight into the laws that really govern your financial future. Combined, these resources will help answer questions such as, what is the truth behind sowing and reaping? Why would God use you to bless others? And how can you apply God's principles of abundance to your finances? Right now, Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners can get these two powerful resources for a gift of $15 or more to help extend the reach of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. It's because of faithful friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio can reach thousands every day with solid biblical teaching. If you or someone you love is struggling with finances, don't delay. Call now. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. With these timeless resources, you'll understand God's plan for abundance. And with your gift of $15 or more, you'll keep Derek Prince Legacy Radio coming to you and so many others around town and around the world. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Joining me today to help us digest this marvelous meal from the Word of God that Derek Prince has been giving us is David Holland, my dear friend, one of the producers of the show, pastor, scholar. David, thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure, Stephen. Thank you.
You know, I really have a sense, David, that we need to go after this thing and from something of a generational perspective.
Yeah.
As we were listening to Derek teach, I was reminded of a scripture in Matthew 16. You know that famous scripture where Jesus turns and he's speaking to Peter, sort of, but he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Now, I got to tell you what I believe. I believe that a specific spirit has spoken through Peter. He wasn't demon-possessed. It's just that it's inspired thoughts through Peter. Peter has just rebuked Jesus for saying he has to go to the cross. And Jesus turns and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I think he's ignoring Peter. I think he's shoving Peter aside. And he's speaking to the spirit that was coming, that was suggesting those thoughts to Peter.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is I think that Jesus tells us what this spirit's job description is. And the spirit's job description is to not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. It's a spirit that welds the thoughts of men to natural things, to earthly processes, and keeps it from the things of God.
Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you that spirit is rampant in our age, but I also think it comes down generationally. I think that there are people who grew up in families where there was hardly a thought given to the spiritual dynamics of life, to the giving and receiving, to the presence of the Lord himself in their lives. And even if the next generation has become Christian, I think in some cases you'll find people who just have a tendency to keep their minds at a very earthly level. So they do think about money in terms of banking and accounts and credit cards and bills, but don't think about money in terms of the spiritual dynamics that Jesus tried so hard to teach us. I want to approach this two ways. I want to approach it from the standpoint of awakening people to the spiritual dynamics of our material possessions, but I also want to deal with it from a generational perspective.
Right.
You and I know that our generation is really bearing the sort of the evil seeds that have been planted by earlier generations.
I suspect that there are few of us that aren't carrying around some sort of baggage, either spiritually or in our souls, or just in our minds, in our thinking, where money is concerned, and where selfishness and where giving are concerned. I think most of us have some freedom that we need to gain, some ground we need to gain. As a father, I'm very aware, and it's very sobering for me to realize that my daughters are not likely to follow what I've said. They're going to follow what I've modeled for them. And that includes where money and finances and giving are concerned. I've spouted off wisdom to them, but what has really been absorbed in them, it's sobering for me to realize, is what I've modeled. And a lot of us had some things modeled for us. A lot of us had some words spoken over us, that the power of those words need to be broken. Many of us have made inner vows early in our lives that we need to break the power of those unrighteous inner vows that we've made.
And, you know, in some cases, our parents have been marvelous examples of some things and not others. For example, my father was a award-winning, medal-winning Army officer, literally, offered his life on the altar. I mean, he wasn't actually killed, but, I mean, he put himself in harm's way in the service of our country. But never in our home was giving, financial giving, discussed. Never did I see any consistent tithing to a church. We were in military chapels all the time. I want to make it very clear to our listeners, it's not disparaging our parents to say that in certain areas they weren't maybe great examples. They may have been stellar in other areas. But Dave, we've just got a couple of minutes, but I think this moment of prayer is really critical. Would you pray that our eyes are open to the invisible dynamics regarding money? It's number one. And number two, pray that those generational curses, those generational forces are broken, that weld people to the natural and keep them from walking in the great blessings of God.
Oh, it'd be my honor. Father, we just come to you on behalf of everyone hearing my voice right now, and we just thank you for the freedom that is available to us in the atonement, the freedom that Jesus purchased for us. And Father, I just also realize that we need to claim and appropriate that freedom to every part of our lives. And Father, we want to do that right now where our thinking and our souls and our spirits are concerned. Where the money and giving and finances are concerned, Father. If we've had things that have been modeled for us, and we've adopted those models that have been unrighteous patterns, Father, we want to renew our minds to that. If there are curses that have been spoken over us, or generational curses that have come down through our family lines, Father, we break the power of those curses now by the power of the blood of Jesus and his redemptive sacrifice. We thank you, Father, that we now appropriate freedom in Christ, freedom to give, freedom to consecrate ourselves wholly to you, Father, in every aspect of our lives. Make it so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And I want to say to our listeners that, you know, when we pray like this, forces are actually broken, just as they are when you pray and you do warfare over your own life. But then you have to go in and occupy the territory. When the Allies won in World War II, they still had to go in and occupy the lands that they had won and establish freedom. And so you've got to have the Word operating in your life. You've got to listen to good teaching. You've got to get connected to a good church. Read your Bible. Get with a small group of believers who will encourage these things in your life. And always, we're here to help. Log on to DerekPrince.org. You'll find this teaching that you can listen to time and again, and many other wonderful ways to have the Word of God planted in your life. Dave, thanks for being with us today, buddy.
Thanks, Stephen.
Listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Thursday as the legacy continues.
To request the financial resource pack, give us a call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This special bundle includes two valuable resources, Derek's timeless book, God's Plan for Your Money, and his audio CD, Christian Principles of Finance, both available for your gift of $15 or more to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Find out more about Derek Prince online at derekprince.org.